So what's up, That Church Online? I am super excited to be with you here today. You may not have noticed, but the world has changed. And so what we did was we put together a message series, So the World Has Changed, Now What? So the next few weeks, that's what we're going to be looking at. Matter of fact, today, we're going to be looking at what do you do when your life turns upside down. I'm going to give you four things that I promise you, after you stick with us for a minute or two, you're going to go, I'm glad I heard that. So stay tuned. It's going to be incredible. So I'm excited to be here, and I hope you're excited to be here. So the world has changed, now what? We're going to talk about that, but before we do, let me throw a couple of things at you. What gives That Church Online the ability to do what we do is the generous gifts from people just like you. And we need you to help us and partner with us in continuing this work and this ministry. This very weekend, our churches will be meeting physically, and we're meeting right here online. That means today, starting right now with you watching this, this is a church online. This is not out of necessity. This is our new opportunity. And so I want to encourage you, if you can, if you would, please consider partnering with us financially as we go through this. Here's another thing you can do for us. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe, hit that like button. Let us know something about what's going on. Leave us a comment. We absolutely feed off of your feedback. We love to hear what's going on in your life. You know what? As we go through things, you can help us, you know, come up with topics and messages as we go along, some things that you need to hear about, some things that you are interested in. That would all help us out. We're so glad you're with us, though. Without any further ado, let's jump into this message and let's talk about what do we do when our life turns upside down. This past week, I was studying about Michelangelo. I don't know how much you know about Michelangelo. Pretty famous guy. He was a sculptor, a painter, and a lot of other things. But he's probably one of the more famous artists in world history. One of the things that Michelangelo did, as some of you might already know, is he painted the ceiling in the Sistine Chapel. It's one of the wonders of the world. It's absolutely magnificent. Now, Michelangelo had been commissioned by the Pope to do this work. It was really big. It was a hard work. It was a difficult work. Michelangelo said, at one point he said, my back is bent like a bow. Most of his painting was done leaned back on a scaffolding that he had built, and hours and hours and hours, for 4 years, he paints the ceiling of this chapel. Part of the way through that painting, he's so overwhelmed with how big this job is and how cumbersome it is, he says this in his own personal journal. He said, I'm in a horrible place. I'm no painter. I don't know if you've ever been there. I know I have. You ever been to a place where you're so overwhelmed with all the stuff that's going on around you, all the things you see and hear, or maybe the job that's in front of you? Maybe you're overwhelmed by the family that you're trying to raise, or the marriage you're trying to have, or maybe you're single and you're just trying to find somebody to marry and you're just overwhelmed. Have you ever gotten to a place where you go, I'm just not what I think I am. Maybe I can't do it. Imagine Michelangelo, one of the greatest artists in human history, questions whether he can even do what he's great at, because he was just overwhelmed by everything around him. You know, we get like that. So what do we do? What do we do when the world turns upside down? What do we do when our life turns upside down? Let me give you a few things that I promise you're going to help you. Number one is this. Take this down. You need this. This is a note you need to write down. Number one, we need to face the brutal facts about where you are. That's the first step. Very often, what we do is we focus outside of ourselves and we try to figure out what's going on over here or how I can fix this. But the first step to overcoming when life turns upside down is you facing the brutal facts about where you are. In Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 3, we have this story of where God meets with Adam after he sinned. Adam had already sinned against God. He had eaten from the tree that God told him not to, and his life had turned upside down. Things had changed radically for him. And in the cool of the day, God comes to visit Adam. And here's where we take this up. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, then the Lord God called to the man. He asked this question. He said, where are you? I think it's one of the most important questions you're going to ever ask yourself when you're trying to discern what direction to go and what needs to change in my life. Where am I? So often we're asked the wrong question. Here's the question that you're asked more often than where are you? You're asked this, how are you? And here's what's bad. When you're asked the wrong question long enough and often enough, you begin to give the wrong answer and you begin to believe that the wrong answer is actually the right answer when the right answer is actually the wrong answer. You're being asked the wrong question. It's not about how are you? It's about where are you? Where are you? God wanted to know. He wanted to know where Adam was. Adam and us as human beings, we want to talk about how we are. We want to talk about how we feel. And so what happens is we tend to give an emotional response to something and instead of an actual location spiritually where we are. And so what happens is when someone asks you and they go, hey, how are you? And maybe they do it with like real genuineness, like, you know, like, how are you? How are you doing? How are you doing? And, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but you can really make people mad when they're asking you the wrong question when you give them the actual right answer. When someone says, you know, I mean, how are you? And you go, I'm blessed, highly favored. I'm a child of God. Have you ever noticed how people, it's like you like petting a dog backwards? They just don't like it. They're like, hey, wait a second, don't do that. But the truth is that that's how we need to answer. But most often when someone says, how are you? You know what we give? We give our emotional location. We'll say, I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I'm worried. I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I'm whatever. I'm concerned. Day to day it changes. I don't know. See, oftentimes we think that how we are is more important than where we are, but it absolutely isn't. How we are or how I am is an emotional response. When I answer and I say, hey, I'm mad, you know what I'm really saying? I'm saying the experience that I'm having right now is this. But what I'm not saying is, here's where I actually am. Here's what how Adam replied to God. He said this, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, I heard you walk in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid. God said, Adam, where are you at? Adam said, I was afraid. That's not where Adam was. You know where Adam was? Adam was far from God. That's where he was. You know what Adam was experiencing? He was experiencing fear. See, very often what we're giving is the symptoms to our real problem instead of the real problem that we have. When we say, hey man, I'm really frustrated and mad. You know what the truth is? You're probably far from God. And the atmosphere that you live in when you're far from God is filled with anger, resentment, and fear, and bitterness, and concern, and anxieties, and so much more. Adam wanted to give what you and I want to give. We want to give an emotional location rather than a spiritual location. How I feel is not where I am. It is what I'm experiencing because of where I am. And the reason why this is so important is that you're going to never move the location of where you actually are until you stop defining where you are by how you feel. We have to know that I'm feeling what I'm feeling because of where I am in relationship to God. And that's hugely important. So how do we get to where we need to be? Well, two things need to happen. We need to know where we are. And then we need to know where God is. These are the critical components to the equation of my life change. Real life change is going to come from me knowing where am I and where is God. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the That Church logo and wondered, why do we have that little green pointer thing, the little, you know, the little dealio that's like this? Why do we have that? Well, a number of years ago, my wife and I were at a mall. And it was a big mall. Now, I was there because my wife was there, okay? I was there because I was required to be there, okay? I'm not a mall person to begin with. But anyway, we're at this mall. It's three stories high. It's full of all these stores that are full of stuff that nobody should want, but we do. I don't know why. But anyway, that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. My wife had one particular store she wanted to go to, and we go to the mall map, and she looks around. There's like this index of stores. Now, by the way, this mall's so big, the mall map was like on this side, it was on this side, it was on this side, it was on this side, because it's got all these stories and everything. So she finds the store she wants to go to. It's number 107 or whatever, 1523, whatever it was. And we go around, find it on the map, and there it was. But you know what? We couldn't do anything about it. You want to know why? Because we didn't know the most important part. Where are we? Where are we? If I don't know where I am in relation to that mall, it doesn't matter where the store is. I need to know where I am, and I also need to know where I am in the mall and where the store is that I'm trying to get to. So what we did was when we launched That Church, I said what the church should be is the church should be an indicator and help us understand in this journey where we are and where is God. That's two questions that have to be answered if my life is going to change. Where am I in relationship to God? That mall map would tell you where you are in relationship to the mall. But you know what? In life, we need to know where we are in relationship to God. That's why God asked the question, where are you? He didn't say, how are you? We could have looked at that mall map and said, we're lost. That doesn't matter. The only way that I'm going to change the direction of my life is I have to know, where am I? Where am I? Not how I feel, but where am I? Let me give you some ways that you and I can answer that question and be honest and accurate about it. How about this? Where are you? And you might answer, I'm not hearing God anymore. I'm not listening like I was. Or where are you? You know what? The truth is I've let sin creep into my life and it's really got a hold of my, if we're going to be honest, the brutal facts, sin has entered my life. There's a sin there that doesn't need to be there. And I know that it's there. Or how about this? I've walked away from God. That's where you are. I'm out of touch with God's truth, or I'm not serving or depending on God anymore. Or how about this? I'm not learning to trust God's provision. I've stopped doing that. I've stopped depending on God. That's where you are. That's so much more important than how you feel. So much more important than the emotions you're experiencing is where am I? And God asked that question. You didn't know where you are. And you got to be brutally honest about it. If you're not brutally honest about it, it's going to cost you something in the future. You can't get to where you need to be. The second thing that I want to point out to you is this, is when the world turns upside down, you have to turn everything down and everyone down. So often when we look around, what happens is when we see the world in chaos, or maybe it's our world is in chaos. Maybe it's not about the world out there. It's about the world in here. Maybe my marriage is upside down. Maybe my relationships, maybe my health, finances upside down. And a lot of people are going through that right now. But regardless of what's upside down, the first thing is looking at where am I? The second thing is this, is I have to turn everyone and everything else down so that I can hear God. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's one of my favorite stories. There's a prophet, his name's Elijah. Elijah has looked around his city, his village, his community, and all he sees is a mess, okay? He's watching the news, all right? And he looks around and just sees the mess that's out there, and he gets discouraged. And so he kind of just takes off on this journey. So I'm done. I'm leaving. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm getting in the car. I'm driving until I run out of gas, and then I'm going to walk till I dehydrate. You know, that's where Elijah is. And God found Elijah in this journey as he's walking, really walking away from God. And here's what God says. Listen to this. Listen to this question. This is in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. It says this, "But the Lord said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" You see what God's asking again? Where are you? What are you doing here? Elijah had walked away from God, and God says, "Why are you over here? Why are you far from me? What brought you over here?" And Elijah answers him. Verse 10 says this, "Elijah replied, 'I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets, and I'm the only one left.'" Elijah said, "I'm the only person doing the right thing. Nobody else doing the right thing, and they're prospering, they're doing good," right? You ever felt that? Of course you have. "I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." You know what God says? God doesn't say, "Hey, Elijah, let me fix this for you. Here's what I'm going to do, Elijah. I'm going to make your life better. I'm going to make you feel better about everything. I'm going to make your emotions be what they need to be." Here's what God said. God said, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper, really quiet. God spoke to Elijah. And here's what it says. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Now I want to tell you what's happened. The night before this happened, God led Elijah to this cave for him to stay in that night, for him to have shelter. And so Elijah goes into this cave. He's been running away from God, and he goes into this cave, and that's where he spends the night. The next day, God reveals himself to him. And Elijah saw God. He heard God. He listened to God. But when he heard God, Elijah, rather than responding to God, Elijah went back to his cave and he stands there. See, Elijah's at the cusp of a decision. That's probably where you and I both are. When it's time for our life to change, we're on the cusp of a decision. Elijah stood in front of that cave. That cave represented him walking away from God, hiding from God, going somewhere else other than where God is. That's what happens to us. He had a choice. I can either turn back because I've heard from God, or I can go to my cave and I can hide and I can run from God. That's up to me. I have that choice. And I want you to notice what God asked him. Very next verse. Listen to this question, because this question is being asked of us. You need to be asking yourself this question. The voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Same question God already asked him. Elijah's standing at that cave and he's looking into that cave. And here's the question Elijah's asking. Would my life be better if I didn't have to put up with all the stuff I'm supposed to do for God? Would my life be better if I didn't have to live the way that God's told me to live? Would my life be better if I didn't have to pursue God? Would my life be better? Would I have less worries? Would it be easier for me? Could I prosper more? Would my bottom line be better off if I didn't follow God? That's where Elijah is. And God asks him, he says, "Where are you?" But here's the truth. You and I can't grapple with that question until we turn everything and everyone else down. You can write this down because it's a fact. You're never going to be able to hear God when you're listening to everybody else. And you're never going to be able to see God as long as you continue to look away. The only way that we're going to see God is we're going to have to turn back to Him. Let me show you something really cool. God hates religion. Hates it. Why? Because it gives us a ritual that's a substitute for our real and authentic relationship. And what it does is, religion is medicine that we take to make us feel better about a bad relationship with God. It numbs it. It numbs the nerves of conviction. It numbs us down. It says, you know what? If I do these practices and I keep doing these things, then I'm good with God, right? I went to church. I did this. I did that. I read my Bible this way, or I've said this certain prayer. And God hates religion because it's so easy for us to use that as a substitute for a relationship with God. The Bible, the Old Testament, closes with this book called Malachi, okay? The last book in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament opens up with the book of Matthew. What I want to share with you is this. The gap between Malachi's conversation from God and the Matthew's conversation, this represents 400 years. The reason why there are no books written during this time is because God didn't speak during that time. He was silent. It's intriguing to think that God, at the end of Malachi's prophecy, God closes His mouth and He doesn't speak to humanity for 400 years. Now, let me tell you something that's crazy. He doesn't speak to humanity for 400 years. Malachi closes with a handful of commandments. Matthew opens up and we begin to see what's going on again. When Matthew opens up, we have 613 commandments that mankind has created. How did we get all those commandments? Where did all that come from? Where did all the rules come from? Religion. God didn't speak, yet man kept going on about his business. Man kept doing his religion. He kept doing, oh, we're going to go have services over here and we're going to have this kind of prayer. Oh, by the way, if you better do this or you don't love God. And so Matthew opens up with all of these commandments. Don't we do that? God gets quiet and we keep doing certain things, even though we don't realize that God's not speaking anymore. It's such a critical thing. God wants us to hear from Him. And the only way that we can hear from God is we have to turn everything and everything down and everyone down. Let me give you a third thing. When your world turns upside down, got to be brutally honest about where you are. You're going to have to turn everyone and everything else down. Third thing is this, is you have to go back to where you last heard God. I'm not necessarily talking about a geographic location. I'm not talking about an address. I'm talking about a place and a position that your heart was in when you last heard from God. Can I tell you something about God? He has not moved. He hasn't gone anywhere else. At all. Unlike that panel behind me. Yeah, it's going to work. So God has not moved. He hasn't moved a bit. He hasn't gone anywhere. And so here's the truth. You need to go back to where you last saw and witnessed God. Where was that at? Where was that at? Where was that last place you heard? Was it in a song of worship? Was it when your heart was really softened when you heard a message from your pastor? Was it in a place where, of quiet in the early morning when you met God in prayer? Was it when you were serving somebody and you experienced God's incredible favor as you put a smile on somebody else's face, as you demonstrated God's love towards them? Where did you last hear from God? Go back to that place. It doesn't mean that you got to drive somewhere. You don't have to go. God is everywhere. Go back to that same place where your heart was in that position. And I can promise you this, you'll hear from the Lord. Listen to this verse, Psalms 5:3 says, O Lord, in the morning You hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. We need to go back to that place. I love when the psalmist says something like that, how beautiful it is for the psalmist to say, man, I want to meet you first thing in the morning. I want to hear from you. Some of us may not realize that God's voice is not in our life anymore. You didn't notice. It's not uncommon. Jesus' parents had the same problem. There was one year that they had gone to Jerusalem for all the feast days, which is a common thing for the Jewish people of their day to do. They go to Jerusalem and they have these celebrations, and then they're going to go back home. Everybody's going back home together, and they go home. The Bible tells us they get almost all the way home and they realize Jesus is missing. Now, you got to understand, Jesus is 12 at this point when this happens, and they've lost Jesus. It makes you think, oh my gosh, these are the people that God picked to raise His Son. But they've lost Him. They made it all the way back home and didn't realize that He wasn't with them. And you think, how crazy is that? And there's this story where they go back to do a search for Him and they find Him in the temple teaching. And it's a pretty cool story, unless you're a parent, because you know how horrifying it is when your kids come up missing. But I want to say this, You know, I can look at Mary and Joseph and say, how in the world did you miss Jesus on that journey? But how many of us are traveling through life right now and don't even recognize that God's voice isn't present in our life anymore? We're so busy about all the other things we're doing, all the other things we're listening to, we didn't even notice that we're not hearing from God anymore. You can't survive without the voice of God breathing life into you. How important it is for us to put Him in the position that He needs to be in. Let me give you the fourth and final thing. When your life turns upside down, when you hear from God, do what He says. Just do what He says. The most dangerous thing that we can do is listen to God and not act on it. In fact, James says it this way in James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, but don't listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. When you hear from God, do what He says. Have you heard from God in this message? Have you heard from God today? I mean, as we have had an opportunity to share Scripture together, have you heard from God? Where are you? Did you hear God calling to you and saying, where are you? Not an emotional response. It's not that God wants to know about your pain or your relationship problems or all that. It's not that God doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear that, but that's not where you are. Those are the experiences you're going to have because of where you are. But where are you? That's what's important. Because until you understand where you are and where God is, you'll never move to where you need to be. Your life can't change without knowing that we have to be close to Him. Are you close to the Lord? Are you close to God? Have you moved close to Him or have you moved away? The further we get away from God, the harder it is to hear His voice. The harder it is to respond to Him. The harder our life is going to be. Life's going to be filled with hardship, but nothing compares to the hardship of being distant from God. We have a chance to do that. We have a chance to pull in near to God and experience an incredible life change. So here's what I want to do. If you find yourself right now asking this question, where am I? And you answer it with, I'm not close to God at all. I want to pray for you. That's what I want to do right this minute is I want to pray for you and I want to ask God to work in your life, but I'm going to ask also for you to have the courage to move close to God. The Bible says it this way. God says, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. That's a promise of God. God wants to be close to us. He has this desire to be near us. When your life is upside down, don't try to fix life that's upside down. Instead, determine where you are in relationship to God. When you know that, you can know what you need to do. And when you move close to Him, it changes everything. Changes everything. So I want to pray for you right now. Father in heaven, I thank you, God, for every person, Lord, that hears the message, God, that you've given. I pray, Lord, that we will be focused on you. God, when we hear your voice call to us and ask, where are you? I pray we'll respond to that, Lord. I pray, God, that we'll take seriously this opportunity to pull close to you. For some of us that are listening right now, God, that movement is, first of all, trusting your Son Jesus as Savior and Lord, and God giving you control of their life. God, I pray that they'll do that. For those that need to do that, I pray that they'll do that. God, I pray for those that are listening right now, God, that have never experienced your goodness and known your forgiveness, that they will surrender themselves to you today, God, and with a simple prayer, ask your forgiveness, and God, accept your Son Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord. God, I pray for the rest of others who are listening as well, God, that are going through difficulty and trouble, and their world is upside down. They're nervous, and they're worried, and they're frightened. I pray that they'll know, God, that it's not about how they feel, but it's about where they are. If we want to experience real life change, God, I pray that we might know that that's about being close to you, and that's about being near to you, listening to you, and acting on what you say. Father, we thank you for loving us like you do. We thank you for everything that you've given us in Jesus. We celebrate your presence in our life, and we offer this prayer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.